You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. Final hour has arrived, and we are really happy that you have decided to join us. It's been a busy day. I know some of you may have been with us all the way, but others have dropped by. So there has been some news that is important, especially with Georgia hosting Auburn this week. Kirby Smart talking earlier about the quarterback situation.
JT will be cleared. But I don't know how much that changes the picture in terms of reps and development. We'll be looking at everybody across the board. JT's got to be able to show us that he can function efficiently and do it with his knee being able to do it. We always thought he would be cleared by this time anyway, but those guys will all compete, as well as Carson will too, and continue to grow at the quarterback position.
Meanwhile, the story of the day in college football has been Mike Leach. Pretty much everybody talking about him, and he was doing some talking as well.
I think that, you know, the threat of football being taken away might have really kind of unified the focus and effort once they got it back to really play together. Because, I, you know, and it certainly hasn't been perfect, and I haven't loved everything I've seen. And, yes, I've yelled and had people do up downs. I've also gone back in my office and wondered if I could actually coach another first down. But we really have, I felt like, have played hard. And I think that, and I wonder if the threat of having it being taken away wasn't part of that. I don't know, you know, and it has been a strange year, but we really have kind of been set to work for the most part. And compared to other teams I've had, too.
And let's get back to the calls and check in with Jonathan, who is in Virginia. Hey, Jonathan.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I love your show. I like to say that.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
I was just wondering, I was wanting to talk about Tennessee, what you thought about them, but I think if Guantano was to ever get it together, that Tennessee could be a big threat in offense. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Guantano he's capable. I mean, I think he's been very hot and cold, but I thought he did enough on Saturday to get the Vols over the top. I think Tennessee's got a chance this year. I mean, that was a critical win. When you win that first game, it can often set you up. And Missouri is, I think, the right opponent this week before they have to deal with Georgia. Thank you for the call. How about Ben in South Carolina? Hey, Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
Got two things for you. In reference to the caller earlier about the kneeling during the game, that was something that the coaches and players of both teams agreed to do before the game. They said they wanted to show unity and support to all the recent crap that's going on. So they did that before the game. And the second thing, step out of the SEC for a second. I was wondering how you think, what you think about the Hurricanes' play so far, and how do you think the upcoming game with Clemson's going to go?
You know, it's interesting. Thank you for the call. I think Miami's been one of the better teams in the country. And I think that's as big an ACC game as we've had in a long time because, quite frankly, we haven't had many big ACC games. I know the Notre Dame-Clemson game in November has been hyped, but this game, which will be, a week from Saturday night, is going to be mammoth, and I'm pretty fired up about it. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Again, we're taking phone calls the rest of the way at 855-242-7285. We hope you'll give us a ring. And Tom is up next in Ohio. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
To speak with you. Hey, thank God for college football, you know, in the SEC being back this weekend.
You're right.
I want to talk to you about the Gamecocks, but I got one comment for Jeff here in Columbus. Jeff, just for the record, we had a bunch of coaches come from the SEC to come up here to the Big Ten to show you guys how to play football. And then also the Urban Meyer situation by him letting Joe Burrow get away from him. I mean, that's on the Big Ten and his fault. So as far as lighting it up, you know, from the Big Ten coming down to the SEC, nah, don't think so. Anyway, getting back to my Gamecocks, Colin Hill, I wanted to ask you what you thought about Colin Hill's performance as far as him, you know, being 64% on completion out through Garantano, 290 yards to 259 yards. The biggest difference in that football game, Paul, everybody knows, is going to be that interception that was just a bad luck, you know, going off of Shai Smith's hands and Tennessee picking it off. And then, of course, the last, you know, kick at the end of the game there, hitting off that player. I was excited to see what Colin Hill would have done with that football if given that opportunity with a minute and 34 seconds left on the clock. I think he would have drove us right down the field. And I believe in my heart we would have scored and won that football game. What are your thoughts, Paul?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. I appreciate the call very, very much. How about Mark in Florida? Mark, thanks for the call. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Paul. Hey, I'm concerned a little bit about the defense for the Gators, but not nearly so much as some people seem to think. I mean, if you consider what was going on in the second and third quarters, I think they had four drives in a row where we scored touchdowns, and it was 41-14 at that point. And really, you know, all hats off to Ole Miss. I mean, they did a nice job offensively, but they did drop some in there, you know, that looked like sandlot completions. And our secondary, of course, you know, we only had half of it out there. I just think that, you know, we will improve immensely, you know, with timing. And I really do think the defense is got to come around, and it needs a little time. People generally say that the offense, you know, takes more time, this and that, but the defense also is real coordinated with space and distance and time. So I'm optimistic.
Mark, thank you, and you should be. We're just the fact that we have a football season is pretty cool. Milo is up next.
Paul Feinbaum, how are you?
Milo, I am well. Thank you.
Well, you need to know this. Prior to coming on the air to talk to you, I did take a knee, but now I'm standing up. I'm going to ask you about the Auburn-Georgia game in a minute. But first, I want to go on the record as saying this. Kirby Smart is dumber than a box of rocks. He's done less with more than any team in recent SEC history. Regarding the game, Paul, Auburn-Georgia. You know, my 12 kids went to Georgia, youngest went to Auburn. Who do you like and why? And then I got one other thing.
I do not make calls on Monday. I don't mean to be snarky, but I like to wait till the end of the week, see how the week goes. So there you have it.
Yeah, and see how the betting line goes. Yeah, I go. Well, Paul, here's the other thing I wanted to share with you, and you probably already know about this, but I was online this morning, and I saw the announcement by the National Parks. They're building a second Mount Rushmore in Memphis. And it's going to be the Mount Rushmore for sports talk radio. and you're going to be on it, Paul. Congratulations.
I have not heard that.
In my opinion, three of your greatest callers ever, Phyllis from Moga, Screaming Tammy, and my personal favorite, Don from downtown.
Yeah, you know, Don Milo may have been the first famous Feinbaum caller.
You should play some of his old calls.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so funny because you'd tear him to shreds and he would just keep talking. There's nobody as good as
I don't know if I've ever told you, I had lunch with him one day.
Oh, gosh.
And it was
pretty. Did he know how to use a knife and fork?
It did not turn out well. I think Bob Lockamy went with us. We went to the old Milo's, ironically. Not Milo's, Ollie's. We went to Ollie's.
Ollie's, yeah.
And right in the middle of the lunch, he started like trying to hit me up for money, like, you owe me money. And I said, I really don't think I owe you money. And I thought we were going to like go at it right there between
the barbecue. I'm sure Lockerbie was running for the bathroom to hide.
Yeah. But
all right, Paul, thank you so much. Bye.
I've also been to his house, the newspaper, many years ago. But anyway, I don't know. I hope Don's still around. He was a famous caller, probably the first famous caller. But that was a couple of years ago. We will take a break. More to come. We appreciate you being with us on this Monday afternoon, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back on a busy and quite different Monday night than some of the shows we've had lately. It feels like football season, and great to have Vance up next. Hello, Vance. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I want to real quick say I just really, really enjoyed hearing from Larry, even though for some reason it kind of sounded like before he ever got ill.
Yeah, no, I don't want to pretend that I know anything about Larry's illness, but he sounded like he was off the EKG and right back to the fridge.
He sounded like Larry.
Yeah.
Another quick question. Do you think if Alabama wins the national championship this year, we'll ever hear from Jerome? Do you not predict he'll call immediately?
Yeah, it's almost like Alabama is the defending national champion now that LSU has lost, wouldn't you say?
Well, that brings up my point. You know, I'm always bad to do this, and I know that Jeff, number one, I think Jeff's a great caller. I mean, I think he's one of the best. But, you know, there's one thing I want to remind Jeff of. Nobody in his conference has scored a point yet. So, and the other thing is, I know he's got a computer. Look up the accomplishments in national championships of the ACC. We're going to leave the SEC out of that because you'd have to have a Chinese abacus to do that. But the Pac-12 and even – since 1968, Oklahoma, Nebraska, et cetera, but my point to Jeff is, you know, there's always another side of the coin. If they are so smart up there, but we needed Jeff Burrow down here to provide a national championship for us, well, if they're so brilliant up there, why did they get rid of him? And maybe if they'd have played him properly, guess what? They might have won a national championship last year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I feel badly for Jeff because he has really nothing to do other than try to come up with outrageous SEC takes, and it looks like he succeeded in that regard today.
Well, no, his takes, which he's very clever. He's obviously a Jim Rome clone.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you are correct about that.
I mean, good God Almighty. I mean, he is quintessential a clone. But he doesn't think about the other side of it. Such greatness at Ohio State. Then why'd they puke this guy out and let him win a national championship at LSU? That's all.
Yeah, And they had to go scrounging around to pick up a Georgia player to try to reestablish themselves.
I wonder, it's great. I mean, he's a good player. I wonder where he wishes he was right now. But anyway, life is life. He went to a great program. But I would like to ask Coach today, who I think is a wonderful coach, I would say, hey, Coach, who would you rather have for quarterback last year? Jeff Burrow or Mr. Fields? I got a feeling in a closet he'd say, God, I wish I had that damn Burrow kid.
I bet you're right about that. Hey, thank you.
Nothing against Jeff. I like Jeff, but, you know, he's a little bit short-sighted, and he's funny. But, you know, sometimes clones got to get cloned. You know what I mean?
Rack 'em. Bill is up next. Hey, Bill, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, thanks for letting me on. I got to follow up with this Jeff thing. I mean, what a knucklehead. Does he realize that the quarterback that they have playing for him now is from the SEC? I mean, I just don't understand.
I don't think he really wants to acknowledge. I mean, he is a archetypical radio caller who comes in when he has nothing to say about his own team, and he tries to light the other guys up, and that's what he did. You just have to take it with a grain of salt.
I know. Yeah, you do. Can I tell you a quick story about Ohio State fans?
Sure.
I lived in Sarasota, Florida for 4 or 5 years, and this was 4 or 5 years ago. And at that time, Ohio State was obviously doing well, and Alabama was doing well, and everybody was excited about all that. But I used to go to this restaurant owned by Leroy Selman. He had 4 or 5 barbecue places, and they were just outstanding places. Lots of TVs. The barbecue was fabulous. But on Saturdays, the Ohio State fans, a lot of people that had retired from Ohio to that part of the country, they would take over this bar, and they treated it like it was their own personal little playground. So one Saturday evening, my wife and I were there. We were sitting at the bar having dinner and watching the end of the SEC stuff. And the bartender walks over and puts a little placard down and says, "Reserved for Ohio State fans at 7 p.m. And we hadn't even ordered our dinner, and so this was 6:30, 6:45, and I said, "What's this all about?" And the gal said, "Well, it's 7 o'clock. The Ohio State game's going to come on, and everybody's reserved all these places." And I said, "Well, you can't reserve places at the bar. That's just not the way it works." So she said, "Well," I said, "get the manager over here." So I called the manager over, and I said, "Listen, I'm watching the rest of this game. And I'm not leaving. I don't care what the story is, either that or I'll just never come back." But the point of the whole story is these Ohio State fans thought that they owned the place. And they're about as obnoxious as it comes as far as I'm concerned. So that's just my little take out on that. And thanks for letting me share. And we'll hopefully talk soon.
I hope so. Thank you. A lot of conversation about Jeff from Columbus. That is really interesting. We don't get that too often, that one caller commandeers the show, or at least an hour of the show. Jim is up next. Speaking of that.
Well, I'm going to have to come down and slam, be the third and final nail in Jeff's coffin, man. He was obnoxious today. I didn't.
That's your boy there, Jim. I mean, you've been propping him up.
I can't have it, Paul. I can't have it. I'm telling it like it is. Do I not get on you? I'll get on you. I ain't gonna get on if they're wrong. He's out of line today. He obnoxious is the right word for Jeff today. You know what? I
think it's the right word for him every day.
Well, no, he's been good about. But that was a lot of arrogance in there today. It seemed like, and so out of line talking about Alabama. But I'm not gonna talk about ball. But Jeff was out of line today. I hope he'll take what I say in a way that can make him not be what he did today. He's lost everybody's. I mean, he has made himself the eye monkey of the week by what he said today, and that's hard to do is to be as bad as eye monkey. You know that.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Jim, because I understand your affinity for Jeff, but today he abused it.
Paul, have you not ever? What is the thing about me? You know what it is. Tell it like it is. I'm objective.
No, I agree with you on that, and that's important because I think too many times, whether they're in this position or callers, they don't tell it like it is. They just skew everything, and that's what Jeff was doing tonight. He sounded like he was some cheap politician.
I think, you know what, now that we're talking about it, I think it sounded like there's a little jealousy involved in not his team not being able to.
I think you're right. No, he
and things went so well with you know who. So yeah, I think that was some jealousy. I sensed some hostility in there.
Well, think about it. I mean, it's better than it could have been, but you're an Ohio State fan, and the excitement level down here is all at an all-time high this year, I should say. And you still have another 4 weeks to go before your team gets on the field.
Yeah, I hate to laugh, but I like Jeff, but he kind of snubbed me the other day on a private phone call. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll take that wrong, but anyway,
how did he snub you?
Well, I was trying to talk to him, and all of a sudden he said something. I can't hear you. And then I called back. And he wouldn't answer the phone when I called back. To me, that was a snub.
Well, you have to remember something about guys like him, and you know this. They don't listen. They just talk.
No, he listens to me, Paul. I'm not trying to brag. We've had a lot of good conversations, and he's been real. I give him credit. Again, I'm being objective. I give him credit where credit is due. Jeff can be very responsive, receptive, and what he should be. But today, he just let his anger, he let his jealousy. I think that's what I think happened today.
I think that's a pretty sapient analysis.
I do too, and I hope he. I know he can return. I know he can. He can brush up and get it right and get back because he's lost. He has been hammered today. Worse than probably as bad as I've been hammered sometimes on this show.
Well, I mean, he's been constructively hammered. You've been destructively hammered.
Well, I can't believe it, Paul. You're being objective toward me today. What's going on?
Well, I'm trying, Jim. I mean, that's all I can tell you.
Is the check in the mail? I mean, that wouldn't be a shock.
Yeah, it is in the mail, by the way. It's
yeah. It reminds me of a pool game. Guy told me, he said, I'll leave what I owe you in your mailbox tomorrow. Of course, you know it was there, don't you? You know what he was in my mailbox.
Well, okay. Well, hey, I appreciate it. We will continue this.
Okay.
Heading to the break right now with everything copacetic. More to come, final 30 minutes. We hope you'll join us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back, and Jackson is up next from Indiana. Hello, Jackson. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
We are doing great.
Well, I've been wanted to say something about Jeff since everybody's been slamming on him. He was talking down Alabama about beating Missouri. The last time I checked, Missouri actually had made it to an SEC championship game, even though that's been several years ago. But instead of running down Alabama, how about Ohio State focus on beating, say, I don't know, maybe Purdue?
Or Iowa, two games that cost them national championships.
Yeah. So let's not get too high on Ohio State just yet. How about beating the teams you're supposed to beat first?
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm glad that I've never adopted anyone, even as a foster parent. But I feel like we've all collectively adopted Jeff, at least until his league starts playing football again. So maybe we should be kinder.
Well, I have to live up here amongst all the Ohio State fans because nobody in Indiana wants to pull for anybody except Notre Dame in this state.
Yeah, I see where Notre Dame's coming back to play. Hey, well, thank you very much. For those who missed some of this, there was quite a Jeff called about an hour ago. Hey, let's go to Rowdy, who is up next. Hey, Rowdy.
Hey, Paul. It's good to talk to you again. And
thank you.
I can tell you're doing well by the smell of your voice. Well, and I can smell you all the way down here in Alabama from where you're at.
Well,
you're
thank
so
you.
Full of crap, Paul.
What's
let
that?
Let me say something here. Let me say something.
Please.
Gene Stallings. Can you hear me?
I sure can. I can't wait to hear this.
Okay. Let me tell you something. Gene Stallings once said that if you don't think every game in the SEC conference is important, then you try losing one.
Right.
Try losing one to Vanderbilt, to Kentucky, to Missouri. Hell, Paul, they're in the SEC conference. This crap about, well, it's only the first game and we can't be too critical and we can't use that scale of measurement because it's the first game. Hell, Alabama trotted 11 out on the field and they was ready. I mean, I don't get this about how some teams aren't prepared and some are. It's called coaching, Paul. Mike Leach went to Mississippi State, new quarterback, new offense, new defense, and they beat LSU. Now, that's coaching, Paul. He trotted 11 out there and they put a helmet on somebody. Their chin strap was strapped. Their jock strap was pulled up and they put a helmet on somebody. That's football, Paul. Now, this crap you put out and you and some of these others about, well, if you want to play ball, you got to be from this conference or that conference. Yeah, Joe Burrow's come from Ohio State. He come to the SEC where he knew 7 out of 10 players down here, they get the recognition that it takes be recognized on a national level. I don't get it, Paul. What is it about you that, I mean, I love your show, man, and you're spot on most of the time, but, you know, this is, you're way off point here, my man, way off point. Now, comment on that, Paul.
Well, I just simply said earlier not to overreact after one game. That was my main thesis. As far as the guy from Ohio, I do not agree with what he said. So that's my comment.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, don't put that crap out there. I'm like Jim, you know, you say be objective. Hell, tell the truth. Tell the truth, my man. Your show's about sports, and it's primarily about college football. Kirby Smart stands on the sideline. They mess up. They don't perform. They trot off the field. He's got Mark Richt's old symptoms. Clapping his hand and smiling. It'll be all right. We'll get them next time. I'll guarantee you that the head people at Georgia would rather have Jeff Pruitt, they're coaching now, because that man is passionate and that he's bringing Tennessee back to where they want to be.
I'm glad you called. I don't mind anyone having a different opinion. I appreciate it, and I hope you'll call again. Jim has made a special request here to.
Paul, what about the. Have we got a soap opera? I couldn't believe it. I didn't even know who it was. Lawyer William. Tennessee William
from Maryville.
Yeah, Maryville, over where Dolly Parton hangs out. We got a soap opera, Paul. The Jim and Jeff show. That even goes well. Jim and Jeff. The soap opera.
I think it was really Squirrel who said more than Tennessee Williams from Maryville.
You know what? How much anybody has regard? Nobody has less regard from anybody on the show than they do for Squirrel and William, the lawyer William, the snobby lawyer William from Maryville. They can't lay a glove on neither Jeff nor I.
Jim, I hate to do this, but we absolutely have to go. We're out of time. It's been a great show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for everybody being here. We had fun. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a safe evening.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.